Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the number, and you are welcome to call that number and bring up whatever is on your mind. It doesn't matter if it's on topic. There's no taboo subjects on Free Talk Live either. Bring up whatever is on your mind. Just keep it FCC friendly. And that number is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And I just wanted to start off the episode tonight talking about an update on the Argentinian presidential election, since I've been talking about that election over the past week or so. Actually, I mean, we've been talking about it for probably like, I don't know, 6 months at this point, just because there's been a very interesting candidate who was doing pretty well, Javier Milei. And he's only interesting to us because he's saying a lot of common sense things about economics and politicians and, you know.
He's talking about inflation and the Argentinian currency being heavily inflated.
And he's also a self-proclaimed libertarian, correct?
Yep. And he's talking about, you know, actual reasons for the currency being inflated and being worth less and less by every hour there or less. And I don't know, we just find them pretty interesting. So the election was Sunday, and what happened was because the person who won, who wasn't him, it was Sergio Massa, because he didn't get enough of the percentage of the vote, they're going to have something called a runoff, and Javier still has a chance of winning. So getting into this article from BBC News, says Argentina presidential election, Javier Milei and Sergio Massa head for runoff vote. And it says Argentina's economy minister, I knew he was something there already, but for some reason I thought he was like a mayor of some town or something. Maybe he's both, I don't know. Sergio Massa has defied expectations by winning more than 36% of the vote in Sunday's presidential election, putting him on course for a runoff contest with far-right candidate Javier Milei, which, from what I've seen, I think it's pretty freaking silly to call him far-right. Like,
yeah, he definitely has some, like, left-leaning things that he says as well. Like,
yeah.
Like most libertarians do. I feel like it is very common that if you're a libertarian, you get classified as a far-right extremist.
Right.
Or sometimes a lefty, depending on the day.
Yeah, right. It really depends on who is, you know, labeling you, right? So if you have a conservative, they're going to be like, oh, you believe in people being able to do drugs and whatever, that side of freedom. You're a leftist. You're a communist. And then if you, you know, believe in a free market and those sorts of things, then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So.
And then that's the thing, too, is though people get lost in this left-right paradigm when it's really not a left-right paradigm. It should be like a political compass of sorts, you know, this diamond-shaped paradigm of, hey, I'm either you're authoritarian or less authoritarian or, you know, whatever. It's not this left-right paradigm that we've been taught to believe. Team red, team blue. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, those are like the same thing anyway nowadays.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't really think that anything in life can be simplified like that. You know what I mean?
It's just black and white thinking, really, is what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
It's, we can't simplify people down to black and white thinking either because we're all nuanced. We're all in this weird gray area in life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, either way, Javier Milei, I wouldn't describe him as a right-leaning person, even in the way you think of right-leaning. I haven't seen anything that makes me think that at all. He's not someone who seems to want to... He obviously is not a conservative. He wants things to change. Well, he wants to change their... He wants to get rid of their central bank. He wants to fire most politicians.
Yes.
I mean, he's not...
Which isn't really right-leaning things.
Right, it's not conservative at all.
I think people think that because whenever you talk about the reduction of the powers of the state and of the government, I think people, like... Because, like, being a conservative, right, like, that would be, like, technically what they think they believe in is reducing the powers of the state. Like, that was, like, what they were supposed to be about. Obviously, we know, especially in America, like, that's not true.
Yes.
Sure, the same as, you know, in most countries. But I think whenever you talk about reducing the powers of the state, that feels more right-leaning or conservative to people.
I feel like that's so new, though, but... It's definitely been a thing since at least 2020, like hardcore, where if you say anything like, oh, the government shouldn't have power over our lives, it's going to immediately get you called a right-winger, like no matter what. But
yeah.
I feel like it hadn't been so much that before 2020, because now people have categorized themselves into, I'm a Democrat because I trust the government completely blindly, and if they say something, I'm just going to do it, and you're a conspiracy theorist if you don't. And that may have been there a little bit before 2020, but it wasn't so, like, any time you say the government's doing something wrong, you're right-winger.
Yeah, I think...
It's definitely more in your face now. Like, people say, oh, you're a white right-winger for wanting to reduce the size of government. It's like, no.
Like, the left-wingers, Democrats and people who align with the left, they always used to talk about getting the government out of specific industries like the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh, yeah. They don't like...
Yeah.
The left did not like big pharma.
Totally. And they totally flip-flopped recently.
Right.
And I think that Donald Trump running and especially being elected, I think that really stirred things up a bit and really exacerbated the, like, left-right divide. And then COVID as well really woke people up to a lot of different things. Some people for the worse, you know, maybe some people went to sleep a little bit more, and I think some people woke up a little bit more.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I see all that as true. But moving on, it says, Mr. Massa's lead was a surprise, as many had believed voters would punish him for presiding over a financial crisis. So since he was in office during the financial crisis, it says inflation in Argentina is nearing 140%. With almost all ballots counted, no candidate has received the necessary 45% of votes needed to win outright. There will therefore be a second round on November 19th in which voters will have to choose between Mr. Massa from the left-wing Peronist movement and Mr. Milei, a far-right libertarian, it says. Mr. Milei, who had come first in the primaries in August, was relegated to second place with 30% of the votes. So he only got 6% less than the other guy. And the third place person, Patricia Bullrich, a conservative former security minister, came third with 23.8. So it's definitely looking like it's just the top two, and the runoff is just going to include them two. And I feel like Milei could still win if, you know, he was only behind by 6%. And then if the people who voted for this third lady on the runoff, they decide, oh, I'm going to vote for Javier, then he could definitely win.
So just be prepared for a huge slam, slamming campaign against him.
Oh, there already has been.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Because he's not about keeping the structures of power in place that have created this inflationary currency in Argentina. He's about reducing it. So obviously they're going to ramp up the attacks. And I hope it doesn't get violent. But, you know, in third world countries like Argentina, you know, politicians may end up dead.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're already starting that with the far-right I don't know if they call them an extremist. I think that my brain just naturally goes to that because that's the typical language. But far-right, libertarian, like that language, typically when you're calling somebody far anything, that alludes to them being extreme, and it's typically a bad thing. I think most, like, normie people claim that they'd like somebody a little bit more in the middle. Like, they get, like, the extremes left or right tends to scare people.
Yeah.
And I think especially, like, when that's being said in the media, like, they're doing that to evoke some sort of emotion, to evoke some sort of, like, thought process.
You were saying that you don't think Argentina is a third world country, Bonnie?
Yeah, I tried to Google it and I couldn't get a straight answer, just trying to quickly do it on my phone while, like, paying attention.
What even constitutes a third world country nowadays?
Not,
because I didn't
that's
hear...
That's what I'm sure about.
That's another
well,
good
so,
question, too.
So I did hear, and this is kind of getting off topic, but just really quick, it was one of the... I don't even know where... It doesn't matter where I heard this from, but I did hear somebody say that the term a third world country came from World War II somehow, and they were alluding to it being, like, either discriminatory in some way or, like, racist in some way. Well, so I'm just wondering where that came from.
This from Corporate Finance Institute, I don't know if that's .com or what, says they're generally categorized by, one, high rates of poverty, two, economic and or political instability, and three, high mortality rates. Now, I don't know exactly what, like, how much the poverty has to be, how, you know, how exactly they define all those things, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I could be wrong, and Argentina could be considered third world, but so, I just know they have, like, one of the biggest cities in the world, Buenos Aires? Yep.
So this is what I'm getting here. So the term third world arose during the Cold War, and it was used to define countries that remained non-aligned with either NATO or the Warsaw Pact. So I knew it came from, like, it stemmed from some war. Obviously, the definition, like it's commonly used as today, as third world country, that it's completely different than what they're talking about here. It's just interesting, though.
Yeah, I could totally see it being used just to, like, other people, other different countries, so people feel like, oh, those aren't, like, us.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
So,
it's definitely
people like to other each other, you know? It's just what we do. We like to think of the other as different rather than, hey, we're all the same. We're all human here.
Right. So many people I've spoken to in my life who have traveled a lot have made the statement to me that, like, everywhere you go, people are people.
Yeah.
So many
people absolutely.
Have said that. It says, following the result, Mrs. Bullrich, the third place candidate, turned on the first place Sergio Massa, saying that I will not congratulate someone who has been part of the worst government in Argentina's history. Wow. So maybe her... maybe her supporters will vote for Javier Milei if they're, like, super against him. The other two candidates in the election, Juan Schiaretti and Miriam Bregman, were left far behind with 6.8% and 2.7%, respectively. Some of Mr. Massa's supporters took to the streets of Buenos Aires to celebrate following his unexpected win. What Massa showed was that he was the only candidate that has a serious project for the country, Luis Esquivel told the BBC. He has led a great campaign, and the results show that, explained 27-year-old Juliana, I'm not going to attempt to say her last name. She added that the voters had come together to confront the fears she said Mr. Milei had inspired. Wow, that's so dumb. Is it really fear to explain to people where this terrible inflation is coming from? It's not like he's trying to say there's no hope and you can't change anything.
Yeah.
He has an idea, you know.
That's the thing. I think people, for some reason, misconstrue, like, fear-mongering with the truth.
Right.
Like, if you're afraid of the truth, like, that's a you problem. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, instilling fear is, you know, like senseless fear, right? So it's like, okay, this is the truth of what's happening. This is a problem. We need to address it or else things will get really bad for us. That just seems responsible.
I agree. And fear is a tool that politicians love to use, to utilize, to control you. I mean, they're going to make you afraid of terrorists or people on the other side of the border or whatever, just so they can control you and get money out of you.
Wow, I thought that this article might give some quotes from Malay's supporters, since they were putting quotes of the other guy's supporters, but no, it's all anti-Malay and pro the other guy. Like this person, it says, if Malay is at rallies wielding a chainsaw, well, at the other end of that chainsaw is people's quality of life. Like, that's so you know.
Quality of life? He's trying to save your economy.
Yeah, he's trying to say, hey, wait a minute, wake up here. Your currency is being ruined by your government printing trillions or printing whatever.
And it's a proven, or, you know, it's a thing that's already been done where countries with a failing central bank get onto the dollar and they, you know, the quality of life improves a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's,
I mean,
it's
the dollar,
like it's like some crazy harebrained scheme.
The dollar has its faults, and we talk about it frequently here on the show, where the dollar is being printed by the Federal Reserve and the government debt is out of control. And but, you know, it's still more stable than the current, the Argentinian peso or whatever they use down there.
It is an Argentinian peso, right? So I just wanted to bring that up because I had been talking about Milei and the Argentinian presidential election that was coming up on my shows I've been doing. I know that Captain did announce what had happened on Sunday, but I just had this article that got into it, and I wanted to update people who may have not heard, and that's all that we have to that.
Plus, we have different listeners every day, pretty much every day, people tuning in from wherever they're driving to or whatever, and so, you know, it's always a good idea to update people.
And this presidential election is different than one of the other hundreds that go around in different countries throughout the world, you know, every month or whatever, or every year, probably not hundreds every month, but because of the interesting topics at hand in it, it's not like we are just, like, you know, interested in a candidate who's just saying, you know, the same stuff that they always say. This is, like, a really different person. It's really interesting. He's drawing huge crowds, like Ron Paul, saying, you know, very important things that aren't, you know, what you'd expect a presidential candidate to say.
And this is what needs to happen, is people need to pay attention to the people who are saying things like Ron Paul said in his campaign and Javier Milei is saying in his campaign. We need to find those people that are saying, hey, wake up. This is what's happening. Your government's corrupt.
Yes. And
this
I think
is what we can do about it.
I think it's really interesting, and I really hope he wins. It would be super entertaining, if nothing else, even if he ends up really bad eventually, because, I mean, every person could be corrupted by power. I still think it'd be pretty entertaining for a while. More entertaining than this cardboard-flavored guy, you know?
Right.
That won the original election. But moving on, I have this article from WMUR, and Ian actually told me about it. I guess he saw it on the TV in jail. Ian's my husband, the founder and a co-host of the show, who's in jail right now awaiting being transported to federal prison for selling Bitcoin. And if you want more information about that, you can go to thecryptosix.com.
He's in prison for 8 years, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. and Mrs. America, this is a case that didn't get covered by your media because, well, they didn't want you to know about it. They didn't want you to know that someone got in prison for Bitcoin or whatever.
Right. I mean, America is supposed to be all about free enterprise and, oh, anybody can make it in America, and the government doesn't just control every facet of your life, including, you know, what kind of money you want to use. Oh, no, in America, we're free. We have freedom here.
Right, and then they prosecute Ian and lock him up in a cage for buying and selling Bitcoin. They claim he was getting filthy rich, but, you know, I know his house, and I've been here enough times to know that he's not filthy rich.
Right, and the other thing is just, I mean, it shouldn't put someone in jail because you made money.
Right.
But for whatever reason, people can, especially juries, can just easily be influenced to believe that if someone, you know, made money and they're not the government, well, then that's bad. How can people not see through that and realize that makes the government seem like the mafia? Like, oh, if someone's making money, it's not us. How can people not realize how held down they're being because of policies like that? Like, anytime somebody puts someone in jail for something, when you're on a jury and you put someone in jail for something, you should consider your family and friends and yourself getting put in jail for the same thing, because you're creating, like, a precedent and you're giving the government the power to do this to people. Like, it's so obvious to me, but most people are way too freaking stupid because of public school systems. Like,
I wouldn't blame the public school system and blame people for being stupid. It's just when you live in a world where you've been told, hey, you got to respect the office of the political leaders, even if you disagree
with them.
Well,
they're indoctrinated. And I think that's what public school centers are. They're public indoctrination centers, you know what I mean? So
they're definitely indoctrination centers. And, you know, when people get indoctrinated with the ideas of the state, they tend to think that, hey, you know, the state is generally the good guy and knows best.
Right, and I think that that's a huge problem. I think that the people who break through that, because it's not like no one that goes to public school breaks through it. Like, plenty of people who went to public school from kindergarten to 12th grade can see through stuff. And it always, like, brings such joy to my heart when I see people like that who, you know, totally should have just been indoctrinated because they were there all 13 years. And they just don't fall for all the stuff. I love that. So, because there are people that can break through it, it's why I call people stupid who don't. It's like, you don't have the mental, you know, strength to...
Or well, maybe, they might, but it's uncomfortable.
Maybe they haven't learned how to think for themselves and question authority.
But that's the thing. Like, these other people shouldn't have. These other people who were also indoctrinated their whole life shouldn't have. So, what's different? I think that some people have more curiosity and, yes, less fear. And, but the thing is, like, giving into your fear can end up with you being stupid. And you can... Yeah. Say, I'm going to stop giving into my fear and become more smart. It's not like it's a permanent state.
Yeah.
That's what always
is. So that's what it is, right? Like, fear inhibits growth.
Right. Exactly. And that's the thing about whenever I say people are being stupid. Like, the people, every single person on Ian's jury was stupid. And I can say that and I don't care. The thing that not pisses Ian off, but, like, makes him go, whoa, 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 whenever I say that, is he acts like I'm saying, oh, they're born with this quality. They're stupid and they can never change. And he will fight me over that, but it's just like, I believe that there are people who can, you know, anybody who's stupid, I'm not talking about people who are retarded or, like, born with a disability, I'm talking about people who, like, that affects their brain, I'm talking about just people who were born basically about the same opportunities as everyone else, they can allow themselves to be stupid, and I don't really feel bad about saying that, because I also believe that if they tried or cared or wanted to, they could get less stupid.
I think I would even go further than that. A lot of those people, not only were they, I think they were either stupid or they were acting incredibly unethically.
Right.
I think they were uncaring.
That's a huge secondary part to me.
And to me, like, definitely. That's even worse.
Right.
Yeah,
like,
it's
being
definitely
a
worse.
Mean, bad person
but also,
is worse than being stupid. Like, either you were fooled or they just didn't care and they wanted to move on with their lives, and it's harder to cast to cast against the rest of the jury members, like, because you have to convince everybody on the jury, right? So it's either for them across the board to just be like, whatever, yeah, guilty.
Yeah, I'm going to go Christmas shopping.
And they don't care. That's the thing. Like, they did not care about him at all.
It took them
they
5 hours to deliberate.
Right.
It took them 5 hours to deliberate. It's Christmas. I guess they wanted to go shopping or something. But, you know.
And honestly, I'm a little annoyed with Ian's lawyer for that. It's like, they went and had an in-chambers conference to discuss, did we want to do this starting in December 6th, or do we want to push it back to spring? And I was just like, oh, obviously he's going to argue to push it back to spring. And then they came out, and Ian's like, so it's happening December 6th. I was like, what? Like,
I was surprised, too. I thought it would get pushed back again. I didn't even know it was an option.
I didn't want it, like, pushed back just for wasting time, either. I was like, oh, obviously we don't want it going on during Christmas. Like, that was so obvious to me. And I just, like, honestly, I'm so annoyed with Ian's lawyer, and I can kind of say no. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump has incurred a $10,000 fine for breaching a gag order in his New York civil fraud lawsuit. The penalty imposed today as the judge determined that he had violated the order for a second time. Speaking from the White House today, President Biden issuing a stern warning to Iran regarding potential assaults on U.S. military installations in the Middle East.
We have had troops in the region since 9/11 to go after ISIS and prevent its reemergence in the region.
He conveyed to Iran's supreme leader that the U.S. would take action in response to any further attacks perpetrated by Iran or its affiliated groups against American soldiers. After four decades of ownership, a Jersey Shore restaurant has relinquished its claim on the Taco Tuesday trademark that is now paving the way for any restaurant in the country to use it. John Schaefer, USA News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk radio that you control, 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation or bring up whatever's on your mind, 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And we're just about to get into this article from WMUR about New Hampshire. It says that New Hampshire is among some states that are suing Meta, which is the new name for Facebook and everything Facebook owns, I guess, over social networks' alleged harm to children's mental health. Which is kind of funny because it's almost like, it sounds, just from the headline, like New Hampshire acts like they own the children. Like, oh, you harm our children.
And also,
it sounds like the state wants to tell social media companies that, hey, you got a parent. You got to be the parent here instead of saying, hey, parent.
It just like doesn't make any sense because I feel like Meta has no obligation for children's well-being.
Right. It really does.
And they do have, maybe not with Instagram, but definitely with Facebook, there's an age restriction. I think you have to be at least 18. Obviously, they're not like checking identification or anything, but you have to check off a box like, I'm at least 18 years old. Not sure about Instagram and all those things, but so I think that would get rid of any liability. I just don't, it just
right.
seems strange.
And not to mention that they have parental controls, I'm pretty sure. Well, I could be wrong. I don't have a Facebook, and I haven't, like, created
I don't think so, because
Instagram.
Kids aren't supposed to be on Facebook. You're supposed to be at least 18 years old.
Is it 18?
Yeah, it is 18 for Facebook, because you're supposed to be in college. Well, that was the original Facebook, right? It was how
it was
to connect with other college
Facebook,
students.
But I think it's probably changed since
Yes, but last I checked, a long time ago, but I don't know if it's changed.
Last I checked, it was supposed to be 18, because I remember when I made a Facebook when I was 13, 14 years old, I lied about my age. Hmm. So now my Facebook actually says I'm older than I am, because when I created it several years ago, I lied about my age to get on Facebook. And I'm sure most of the 13-year-olds on Facebook are also lying about their age.
I'm sure, too.
Well, let's get into it. It says that dozens of U.S. states... Oh, I thought it was only these three. But it says dozens of U.S. states, including New Hampshire, California, and New York, are suing Meta Platforms, Inc. for harming young people's mental health and contributing... the youth mental health crisis contributing to, it's missing word there, by knowingly designing features on Instagram and Facebook that addict children to its platforms.
Look, there's no doubt that social media is addicting.
Yeah.
And there's no doubt that you get a dopamine hit every time you get, you know, validated on social media. But at the same time, is it the government's responsibility to step in and stop
it? And it's not Meta's responsibility either. Even if 12-year-olds were allowed on Facebook, that is a parenting issue.
I agree. It's a parenting issue.
If kids are being harmed by this, one, it's none of the business of the state if children are being harmed by social media. But at the end of the day, this is a parenting issue. If an individual thinks that their child is being harmed by social media, then you, as a parent, should educate your child about either safe use of the internet or setting some boundaries with them and not allowing them to be on the social media. But these days, we're, like, giving tablets to, like, babies, literally babies. Like, people are putting their babies in front of a tablet, and they have YouTube Kids playing, and it's just... It's not good. So it's like, how are you going to set those boundaries when your children, when...
They're literally addicted.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing, too. And it's like, we're literally, yeah, like, we are giving young kids brain damage. Like, two-year-olds are not supposed to be looking at TV screens for as long as they are. And that content is literally giving children brain damage. But that is no business of the state. That is a parenting issue. Honestly, if you don't care and you want to be uneducated and give your kid brain damage and be a lazy parent, that's your business. Like, I mean, it's your kid. It's not my problem.
Right. But the thing is, too, so I come from a large family. I have three brothers and three sisters. And as I've observed my siblings parent their children, I don't have children myself. As I've observed my siblings parent their children, they've learned how to set boundaries for their kids, making sure they're not on their tablets or in front of the screens all the time. They got chores to do. They have to do their chores and things like that. So, you know, to me, they're better parents than the government, obviously. And so I think their kids are going to be a lot better prepared for social media.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And I'm sure that there are plenty of parents that have terrible skills with that, but I just don't see why we're paying people to sue private companies to make them act a certain way to protect those people's children.
No, and that's the thing. Like, really, at the end of the day, it is not Meta's responsibility to protect your kids. Like, if you want to, if somebody's concerned about it, take away their phone. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Right. But it's kind of hard to do that when they've already gotten in addiction because you were letting them watch it as an infant because otherwise they would scream.
Yeah.
It says, so the states are including New Hampshire, California, and New York. It says, the lawsuit filed in federal court in California also claims that Meta routinely collects data on children under 13 without their parents' consent in violation of federal law. Quote, Meta has harnessed powerful and unprecedented technologies to entice, engage, and ultimately ensnare youth and teens.
Well, they're collecting data on all of us. That's what they do.
Can you call it unprecedented when it's been around for so long at this point? Like,
no.
MySpace was before Meta.
I mean, I don't think it's unprecedented at all. I mean, these companies, their goal is to keep you on social media so you can keep feeling validated and keep getting those dopamine hits.
Well,
that's their goal.
It's their business plan, you know? Like, that they're making money off of this.
Yeah, so if you don't want a company making money off of you, don't participate in their business model. Do something different.
There's no proof, in my opinion, that only youth and teens, like it says they ultimately ensnare youth and teens. There's no proof that you have to be some kind of an susceptible young person to become ensnared and addicted to Facebook, because plenty of adults do it.
Oh my gosh, all the time. There, I mean, so when, you know, the internet is a relatively new invention. Definitely social media is a relatively new invention that's kind of blown up, you know, in the past decade. But I know people in their 60s and their 70s who are addicted to Facebook, and they love Facebook. And I mean,
seems
do I
more
think
like
it's
an old people app to me?
Yeah, yeah. And I don't necessarily, yeah, and I think, you know, like within the umbrella of Meta, there's also Instagram, which I do think appeals to younger audiences, maybe. And maybe, you know, there's other social media. I think WhatsApp is in there too. I can't really think of any other ones.
I know my girlfriend Alana is an Instagram user.
Yeah. So.
And she's pretty young.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think it appeals to younger crowds, but I also, so this is a relatively new invention, right? We have all these 60, 70-year-olds that are addicted to Facebook. One, I don't really think that's a problem because it's their life and it's their choice.
Yeah, who cares
to
what
choose
your addictions are? It's only going to harm anybody.
Yeah, exactly. So like, it doesn't really matter, but it kind of, I don't know, it's just, I think it's a huge overreach
from the government.
Absolutely.
I do want to go to the phones because we have an unscreened caller. Unscreened caller, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yes, I had a question about a statement you had made earlier.
What's your name and where are you calling from tonight?
Okay, my name's Stefan. I'm calling from the state of Georgia.
Nice.
Okay, what's on your mind?
So earlier, I've tuned into the show a lot. I'll preface this by saying that Ian Freeman is probably one of the most influential characters in my life, and I still listen to the show about a decade after I started.
Nice.
But I recognize your voice, Stefan. You've been a frequent caller to the show.
Yeah. I noticed every time I seem to tune in now, though, and there's actually a live show on the days of the week there is, it seems like there's always this idea that Ian was only convicted simply due to the fact that the jury was wooed and misled.
Well,
and
were you there?
I understand that you find... No, I'm going to ask you a question, all right?
Well, I'm just asking. So, I just have a prior question. Where did you attend the court? The trial?
Oh, no. It was... No. Everything I've read was simply online.
All right, so go on.
So when you talk about the idea that maybe he was convicted because people wanted to go Christmas shopping, look, I'm a former libertarian. I do not claim to adhere to the ideology anymore. I've kind of moved further to the left. But it seems to me that you believe that Ian is the victim of an unjust system and unjust laws. Now, you are more than free to hold that position.
Oh, well, thank
you. But do you believe that the jury might not hold that position and that they were simply applying the law as they saw fit based upon the prosecution? And maybe Ian's defense wasn't as good.
They went above and beyond to convict him of things that he did not even qualify for. For example, I quickly explained this to people by just saying he went to jail for selling Bitcoin. Obviously, if I sat here and it, like, listed every single charge,
it's a lot more nuanced than that. Yeah,
it's more nuanced than that. But I'm not, you know, here to do a whole monologue about it every single night. But for one thing, just one example, since we weren't there, he got four charges of tax evasion, and in the jury instructions and the law for tax evasion, you have to have 100% been shown to owe taxes, you have to have known that you owed taxes, and you have to have attempted to evade it. And there's another one. It's like a very high bar. And the what's her name? The IRS person that came, and I don't know her name, but the IRS person who came, the witness, that's the word I'm looking for the IRS, she was asked by Ian's, this is just one example, by the way, like, I'm not going to sit here and talk about it all night or anything, but the witness from the IRS who came to testify and say, oh, Ian could have owed this much in taxes, and she had this one sheet she put out or put together that she was like putting a estimate of how much he could have owed. Mr. Sissy, Ian's lawyer, asked him, or her, sorry, what you're saying is it's possible that Ian didn't owe any taxes at all. And she said, yes, that's possible. And like, it was literally a mic drop moment. Sissy just like, you know, put together his stack of papers and said, okay, thank you, and sat back down. And the whole, literally everyone in the courtroom left. It was just like, it literally so much of a mic drop moment, even the jury. And that obviously casts a shadow of doubt as to whether or not he owes taxes. But and I just explained to you the, you know, I can't think of the word right now, but the parameters, the things...
They have to prove it without a shadow of a doubt, right?
Right. They have to prove it without a shadow of a doubt. And then they have to have some kind of evidence that Ian knew this, and they have to have evidence that he evaded it even though he knew it. Like, it's so strict. It's not, like,
yeah.
As...
So, and that's the way that the justice system is supposed to work. Very, very rarely is that how it actually works.
So,
because people are found guilty more often than they're found innocent, right?
Right. But do you see what I'm saying there, Stefan? It's not just an example. I mean, it's not just a situation
where
I'm like...
Did those charges stick?
He got all of those charges. Yeah, he got charged on four of them, like I said. Like, he got charged with them and...
So he couldn't get one juror to break.
What do you mean, me?
No, I'm saying the defense couldn't get one juror to break. That doesn't make any sense.
Sorry if it doesn't make any sense to you.
So,
this is the issue,
I think. So, when the way a jury works is, so, okay, if there's one person that's like, no, I really believe that he did not commit tax fraud or tax evasion, whatever, they would have to sit there until they convince that one person. Like, it has to be a unanimous vote, essentially, right? So that is for that one person who doesn't really know Ian and has just sat there through
two weeks.
Of him being slandered by the prosecution.
Yeah.
And in some of these things, they were very convincing. They had these elderly women come and testify against him and say all sorts of awful things that, of course, we don't believe to be true. But after that, is this person really going to go out on a limb for someone they don't even know and don't even really care about? Just even if they truly do believe he's innocent, it's very unlikely.
December 22nd, when they've already been doing this for 2 weeks.
Imagine the pressure of being just a normal person.
Some of them were having to stay in hotel rooms because they were too far away to drive back home every day.
The phrase or the saying that a jury would find a ham sandwich guilty or they would convict a ham sandwich?
It's
court. A different kind of jury.
It's
but
a grand
it's
jury.
The same,
yes.
Yeah, it's the same.
But either way, I mean...
The grand jury would indict a ham sandwich.
You know, that saying was created for a reason because in a jury trial, and even when I had my own trial for obviously much lesser charges, I had the option, do you want to do a bench trial or a jury trial? And my lawyer said, absolutely go with the bench trial because if you do a jury trial, you are so much more likely to be found guilty. I went with the bench trial and I was found innocent. So they're like, I'm not saying that, you know, proves that it would have been different for Ian, right? But I'm just saying that's kind of just what historically and specifically in this case things point to. So I think that's why we kind of make those assumptions. Of course, we don't know for sure, but
obviously, I would be talking about how I had the opportunity to talk to them, but I don't.
Yeah.
So thanks for the call, Stefan. I really just like, it's so freaking autistic of people to call somebody's wife and be like, listen, I support Ian, but maybe his lawyer just wasn't that great of a lawyer. Like, honestly,
I'm just wondering,
go do something to yourself.
I'm just
because, like,
wondering,
you know, Bonnie,
what
it sounds like you're really angry.
Well, it's just, it's kind of annoying, like, no one, like, puts themselves in my situation, like, these freaking, callers, like, somebody called in the other day, and it's a caller I don't hate or anything, there's nothing wrong with him, in fact, I don't, like, he's one of the nicer callers and everything, and he said, you know that there, it was, like, the day that happened, he was like, you know, government is most likely going to kill him like they killed John McAfee.
Why would you even say that to somebody? Yeah, seriously. Like, you're going to say that to his wife right now? That actually, I didn't know that happened, and that really makes me angry. And someone else called in, I believe it was Dana, maybe? But essentially she called in and was like, I've been calling to the show for years, and I've been telling Ian and Mark for the past 10 years that the government was going to get them.
Oh,
and
she's like, so smart.
So, but it's like, okay, maybe you did. Maybe you predicted all of this.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was obvious. I don't know. But what is the point in calling this show right now? To, like, what are you trying to do? Rub it in his face?
Well, oh, she's so smart.
I warned you.
Stefan, you know, he's a post-libertarian. He wouldn't be found in a situation like this. You know, it's just like, oh, my God, like, give me a break. You're just an autistic person who wants to feel special. That's how I feel about
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really know anything about him personally. I'm just, I'm wondering what the purpose of the call was.
Right. It's like,
I think he was trying to question the reality of whether the jury was following the law or not. And maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but it just seems rather short to have a 5-hour deliberation after a 2-week trial.
And the other thing is, like, even if they followed the law 100%, I would be on here complaining that the law was unjust because it is. If there's not a victim...
There's no reason why Ian Freeman should be in jail right now, point blank, period.
Right.
There's no good reason why he should be in jail.
I don't have to, like, mix things up and, you know, try to convince the listener with some kind of a lie or twist the reality to convince people of things. Like, I'm pretty freaking open about it, and it's just annoying that he would call in with that kind of a call saying, you know, like, you say it's because of this, but what, and then I say, oh, well, were you there? And he's like, no, I mean, it's not like I was there or anything. I know you were there for 2 whole weeks of your life, but what if I'm right and you're wrong? Like, good for you. So, moving on. We're reading this WMUR, I can never remember that, article. It's a, I don't even know what it stands for, but it's a New Hampshire-based newspaper, news agency. And they have this article talking about New Hampshire, the AG's office, is spending time and money suing Meta. And I just bet they're going to lose. Because apparently it's addictive to children, and they're trying to say that Meta has been knowingly harming children. And I think it's pretty stupid. It says, in addition to the 33 states, 9 other attorney generals, including New Hampshire Attorney General John Formella, are filing in their respective states, bringing the total number of states taking action to 42.
So what is the real reason why they're doing this? Because, you know, 42 states don't care about the children.
Right.
So I'm just wondering what the ulterior motive is behind this.
There definitely is one.
Like, but also,
more,
like,
control
what,
over Meta. They want to be able to say what Meta can have
probably,
on the platform, probably.
Because Meta is becoming too powerful and too successful. But, like, what are they... So what do they... What is the expected end result of this?
Some kind of control of business is probably is what I would guess, you know, because that's what they're trying to do. People don't think of social media as a business because it's not, you know, like a brick and mortar shoe store or something like that. But ultimately, if you're taking them to court, you're probably going to do something that impacts other people's business, I would guess. That would just be my guess. I have no idea. But it says, kids and teenagers are suffering from record levels of poor mental health, and social media companies like Meta are to blame, said New York Attorney General Letitia James in a statement. Meta has profited from children's pain by intentionally designing its platforms with manipulative features that make children addicted to their platforms while lowering their self-esteem, she says. And it's just interesting to me because it's like, so you could say the same thing about video games. Not that I would think that it would be right or good for governments to go after video games for this, but they're literally intentionally designed to be addictive, especially, like, you know, phone games, like Angry Birds, you know, all those little things that are just like, you keep doing the same thing over and over again. And you basically have to be addicted to be doing that. And I don't see how it'd be pretty easy to prove that they did it on purpose, you know, because they research what things make people keep coming back. I mean, everything, every business kind of does this. They do research. They see what makes people keep coming back.
Well,
it's not a crime.
It's part of marketing.
Right.
You know.
It says, in a statement, Meta said it shares the Attorney General's commitment to providing teens with safe, positive experiences online and have already introduced over 30 tools to support teens and their families. We're disappointed that instead of working productively with companies across the industry to create clear, age-appropriate standards for the many apps teens use, the Attorney General have chosen this path, Meta added, or the company added. The broad-ranging suit is the result of an investigation led by a bipartisan coalition of attorney generals from California, Florida, Kentucky, Massachusetts, Nebraska, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Vermont. It follows damning newspaper reports first by the Wall Street Journal in the fall of 2021, based on Meta's own research that found that the company knew about the harms Instagram can cause teenagers, especially teen girls, when it comes to mental health and body image issues. And again, it's like a parenting thing.
It's just really not their responsibility. I mean, I was totally damaged by social media. Tumblr? I mean, that it was way more toxic for me than Instagram or definitely Facebook ever has been.
You know why Tumblr, in my opinion, seems so bad? It seemed like everyone I knew that was really into Tumblr, I had one for a while, it just wasn't my thing. I noticed this trend even just looking at it a little bit by myself, was that it really made people want to be depressed and have not just depression, but like
It glorified it, right?
Yeah, and I think, mental disorders of all
kinds.
Yes,
exactly. It like romanticized it.
Right, that's the word.
And the thing with Tumblr is, depending on what sect of Tumblr you're in, like I'm sure there's like some spiritual stuff that's really, really cool. But if you're in like that depressed eating disorder, self-harm side of Tumblr, or whatever, you know, insert toxic thing here.
It's going to exacerbate it, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, that, and I think it kind of turns into an echo chamber. So, like, typically when you make a Tumblr, and so it's a, for people who don't know, it's a social media, that's basically like you can design your web, it's kind of like a website, like where you can design your layout of your website, and then you, it's essentially full of photos. Like, it's very big on the photos, and not so much written content
and, like,
or
blog,
anything like that.
Yeah, but it has like micro blog little links in it.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
it's my girlfriend Alana has a Tumblr account. At least she may have at one point. I don't know if she has one yet.
So, anyway. But with Tumblr, like, typically, like, if you're making the account, like, you stick to a theme, right? So if you're in that theme of, like, black and white depressing photos or whatever, that's all you're going to be seeing, and you kind of get stuck in this echo chamber. And I think any time you're in an echo chamber, whether it's in real life or on social media, it can be very, very toxic. So.
Right, and it would just keep sending you more of that if that's what you had looked at.
But it's not Tumblr's fault or problem. Like, that's something I needed to figure out.
It's gonna do. It's right. Just, you need to get your mental health in order.
That's why it's kind of a parenting thing if you're a minor. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up.
This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.